Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
Good morning, everybody. Once again, it's that time, 10 a.m. here on BuckheadBusinessRadioX.com. You are listening live to our Business Radio X show. We got a wonderful guest here in the studio this morning to share their business stories and their backgrounds. I'm Ryan Redhawk, sitting in this morning for Rich Casanova, who is out of the office today. But we got things handled here pretty good this morning and looking forward to a good show coming your way. So I'm just going to introduce everyone around the table before we get into their personal stories and their personal backgrounds. So first, we'd like to introduce Tony Axon. Is that right?
Correct, Tony Axton.
And Alejo Cadavid.
You got it.
Okay, they are with 100tables.com. So thank you, gentlemen, for being in the studio this morning and braving that wintry mix out there on these Atlanta roads. Seated next to him is Jonathan Yardley. He's with Special Globe, a travel website for special needs families. That's right.
That's right.
All right, good morning, sir.
How are you? I'm great.
All
thanks.
Right. Yep.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, our pleasure. And next to him is Dr. Erin Harris. She's with MedFirst Partners Healthcare. Is that right?
Yes. Harris Internal Medicine.
Harris Internal Medicine. All right. Good morning, doctor. How are you? Good morning.
Good. I'm good.
All right. And then seated next to her is Matt Rayner. He's with Wella. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Glad you could join us again here in the studio at Buckhead Radio X. So first we'll get started with Matt. He is a founding partner and portfolio manager. Matt coordinates the investment committee and translates the decisions into trades and allocation adjustments within the Wella models. Matt also serves as an investment advisor and chief investment officer for Capital Investment Advisors, CIA. Well, I like that name. Outside work, when Matt isn't spending time with his soon-to-be wife and their puppy dog, you can typically find him on the golf course or coaching his Little League baseball team. He's an avid Georgia Bulldogs fan, and you can also find him in Athens on Saturdays during football season.
There you go.
So, all right,
that
very good.
Sums it up.
That's right. So you said you're from the Atlanta area.
Yeah, grew up just over there in Marietta.
And then you went to school at UGA?
I actually didn't. They didn't let me in. So I took a four-year vacation out to Arizona State University out west.
And then came back to Georgia.
Came back to work and been here for the past 10 years or so.
So you must have grown up a Bulldogs fan.
Grew up a Bulldogs fan. Yeah. When you grow up in a family of Bulldogs, then it's hard to kind of lose that.
Yeah, that is true. So I've always been a UGA fan myself, although I never went to college there. Still root for them on Saturdays and love going up to Athens to see the game. So tell me first, where did the name Wella come from?
Yeah, so actually it's it's pretty simple. It's an old English word for wealth. So given that we're in the business of helping to create wealth for individuals, it was a no-brainer for us to go that route. So we hired a team to help us with it, and they were able to come find that name for us. And we've gone from there.
Yeah, I think I've heard your commercials on the radio. Is that right?
Yeah, so we have some commercials on 97.1 The River and 106.1.
Yeah, that's where I've heard it. And I think you even described that the name and what it means in the commercial as well. So really clarifying that for people. So what does Wella do?
Yeah, so what we are is we started out as an asset manager, and then we've evolved over the past year to become a digital advisor. As the wealth management space has evolved, there's come to know for many people to know these things called robo-advisors. Mm-hmm. And what it is just technology-driven investment advice. And there's no personal touch or anything of that nature. We've grown up via, as you mentioned, CIA, which is a wealth management firm over in Sandy Springs. Mm-hmm. That's been around for about 20 years. And it was mainly high net worth individual wealth management. And what we saw is that there was a need to be, there's a target that was not being served. And so We wanted to merge. We didn't think that going all the way technology driven was the right answer, because there still needs to be a personal touch and personal aspect when it comes to dealing with finances and money and wealth creation. But we also saw that the high net worth traditional wealth management model was leaving a lot of people out there. So we wanted to merge the two and create Wella, yourwella.com. And I really think of it as a hybrid of mint.com combined with Fitbit.
Okay.
In the sense that individuals are able to go and get a holistic financial macro view of their situation, and it helps them better set and understand goals and objectives in their financial life, and then they have Wella to really help them through the process of getting towards those financial goals, staying on top of them, that kind of that Fitbit wristband, but for the financial wristband for them, for the individuals.
Yeah, so the Fitbit tracks your every movement all day, every day. Is your wealth management something you should stay in touch with all day, every day?
So so we're not going to be going every day, but it needs to be something that people would stay on top on. I think that people, there is that mentality of set it and forget it, right? Yeah. But we're trying to focus on individuals that have life stage goals. So they want to go and buy a house. They want to save for their kids' college. They want to start saving for retirement. And some of those things are things that we need to check in on and make sure that, not necessarily is it higher or lower today, but are we still saving that amount that's necessary to get us to that goal? Yeah. And so that's really where the Fitbit says.
So how long or how often should you check in? Would it be a monthly thing, a quarterly thing?
So for the financial goals that we allow individuals to set up, we have them check in monthly. So we give them a monthly update on how they're doing on their goals. Because every goal that we set, it says, okay, well, we need to save this much per month to get to that goal by X date. And so it's really a check-in to say, hey, did you save this amount of money?
Yeah.
Not necessarily did it grow this much. That's more of an annual type thing or semi-annual type aspect of seeing how your investments grow.
Yeah. And when saving and putting that program together for folks, do you put in some of those expenses that are unseen and can come up in life?
Yeah. Well, that goes back to kind of the financial planning process that we go through with our users and our clients. And it's the idea of, you know, we look at it as a financial hierarchy in the sense of what's the first thing that we need to do to build that base, and then we can build on top of that each level. And that's really where we go to say, hey, we need to invest and do an emergency reserve. And that's the boring stuff. That's what everybody's like, well, cash isn't earning anything. Why do I have it in cash? It's a matter of going to get 3 to 6 months worth of expenses, in our opinion. Put that in cash, and that's your emergency reserve. Mm-hmm. And then you can now start going and start investing in other aspects, whether it's your 401k plan, 403b, or brokerage account.
So very good. How long has Wella been around, and who are the founders?
Yeah, so Wella has been around for about 8 years in some different forms. We've kind of evolved as a company. This new iteration of being a digital advisor has come across over the past year or so. And we relaunched the platform January 6th to really encompass
of this year.
So it's been a whirlwind of 2 months so far, but it's been a good thing. And we relaunched the platform to allow for that Mint.com and Fitbit functionality. Mm-hmm. But Wella as a whole, from an asset management standpoint, has been around for 8 years. I'm a co-founder with my brother, Mitchell Reiner, and then another, Wes Moss, who's a radio host here in the town as well. Yep. He's a partner of ours. And then we have a few other advisors that are partners of ours within the firm.
Right. And did you guys all get together and come up with this idea, or how did that all kind of sprout out?
Yeah. So, we were lucky enough to have CIA to learn from, right? We saw that there was an issue going on in the whole wealth management space. As CIA was growing, we saw that there was a need to continue to increase a minimum investment based on the time that it takes to manage each individual relationship. So we all sat down and we asked ourselves, what's a way that we can help all these individuals underneath our certain investment minimum that we needed to move up to, whether it's 250,000 of investable assets or 500,000 of investable assets? We said, what can we do to help those individuals? And really what that was is to create a scalable, efficient, technology-driven approach and model-driven approach. So what we did is we developed 10 different ETF, which is just it's a lower cost mutual fund. It just tracks an index. We developed 10 different ETF-based models that they took all the decisions from our investment committee that we already were meeting every 2 weeks at CIA, and all of those decisions just filtered down into those models. So instead of having a unique portfolio for every individual, we were able now to just have 10 different models, and it's much easier to manage that relationship so we could focus on actually the individual relationship. Mm-hmm. And then we deliver all of our content online and all of our updates online. And so it allowed us to now say, hey, whether you have $10,000 or $10 million, we're now able to help you within one of our firms.
Right. And it sounds like it's a family business. You mentioned your brother, right?
Yeah.
Well, what about your role opposed to your brother's role? What do y'all do on a day-to-day basis over there?
It's actually a family business. Dad is a founder of CIA. So he founded it 20 years ago. Then he allowed Mitchell and I to come in, and we've kind of separate our roles. Mitchell's the chief operating officer of CIA, and he's really focused on some initiatives that we have going on in that firm. And then I've taken the reins of running with yourwella.com and promoting the initiative that we're doing there. And so we're in the process of continuing to build out our team as we start to see traction within the platform. Mm-hmm. And so my role is really focusing on making sure that evolves over time. And then I also continue to manage an investment or some clients over at CIA to help them
kind of working together. Goals, where are your offices located here in town?
So we have one office in Sandy Springs over there off of Hammond and Roswell. Mm-hmm. And then we, Wella, our team over there, works over at Atlanta Tech Village right now.
Oh, yeah. So, we've had some of them in here. A great, great group of people. And it's like good synergy going over there with all the businesses that they're working on. Yeah. And what are some of the areas you service? Would it be anybody worldwide who has access to the internet, or you do more locally? Or
yeah, so that's the beauty of what we've created, is that we can help anybody. But right now, we have a really strong goal of being, impacting Atlanta first and really taking over the Southeast, because we can be first to market in that area. Mm-hmm. And so we have an understanding and a marketing presence within the Southeast, given Wes's brand. And so we're going to leverage that to kind of promote our idea. So right now we're really focused on Atlanta, and we want to be the digital advisor that went that Atlanta Trust.
Now, is that Wes's voice we hear in the commercials? Did he voice over?
It depends. There's multiple. Yeah. We have one is Wes and one is Dave Clapper of 97.1
right.
River.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, very familiar with them. So if you could mention, you don't have to say their name, but you do have some competitors out there. What separates you from what they are doing?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not scared to say their names.
Okay.
How we look at it is that there's a continuum out there in this space right now, and it's really an evolution in this fintech space, which is a hot area right now. But you have on one side of the spectrum, you have traditional wealth management, which is where you go in, you have a personal touch, and it's a little bit higher cost, right? Everybody has customized portfolios at that level. If you go to the other end of the spectrum, that's where you have the robo, the digital people like Wealthfront and Betterment of the Worlds that are getting a lot of the VC capital because they've created technology that's algorithmic based investment management. And so we find ourselves really in the middle of those two, where there's another competitor directly with us, which is Personal Capital. And, I don't know if they're directly competitive, but they're kind of trying to do the same thing that we are. So there's definitely multiple players in the space.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And so what is the future and direction of the business? How do you see it growing and evolving over the next couple of years?
Yeah, so the future is really trying to impact those people that are getting turned away and don't know that they can go get service from, get financial advice from anybody. It's we want to actually make wealth management fun again. Mm-hmm. Given what's happened over, 2001 crash and then 2008 crash, there's a lot of distrust in the industry, and people in Generation X and Generation Y aren't really going to financial advisors because they don't want to go to the 17th floor of the King building down there to go meet with their financial advisor. They want to do it on their time while they're at their kid's soccer game or while they're traveling to at the airport waiting for their next plane. So our goal is to really impact individuals' lives that didn't know that they could access financial advice.
All right. And so if someone's listening out there who maybe is a little timid or about getting started in, the wealth management and all that, what's that advice you could give them for that first step? How do they get going and then, turn it over to you?
Right. Try it. Yeah. That's when I was on a panel the other day and one of the gentlemen said, what's the best advice to give people is just try it. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
Our platform, yourwella.com, is free to use. Okay. There's no commitment unless you want to have investment management done. Go try the other players. Learn what's out there and try to understand what fits your lifestyle and what mm-hmm. fits your needs right now and go from there. We're not going to take it the wrong way if you don't choose us, but go try all of them and see what you like best.
Yeah, from my perspective, it seems like one of those things that's like you don't want to do, but you have to do it.
Right.
And so you keep putting it off and it seems like a lot of work and they're going to want a lot of information from you or from your side. But once you get started and you get a plan together and that's what you help formulate, it seems like then you're on your way to success.
You don't usually wake up in the morning with your, screaming, yes, I get to go talk about my financial situation, right? It's not one of the top things on your mind, but I would say that, for us, what we've tried to develop is the ability to do it quickly and take it in baby steps, baby mm-hmm. chunks. I think that what the problem is with financial advice, especially for younger generations, is that everybody talks about, well, you need to save this for retirement. You need to think about retirement. And some of these people are 30 years old and they're not going to retire until they're 65. That's double the amount of time they've already been on this earth.
It's not
and
even
that's
on
very,
the radar.
Yeah, that's a high burden for them to take on. And they're like, well, I'll just push this off. It's way overwhelming for me. So it's really taking it in bite-sized chunks and based on your life stage at mm-hmm. where you are. And go accomplish those goals first. And we provide this option within on the website, on the platform called a game plan. So mm-hmm. if you log in as a user, you can go fill out a game plan, put in some information, just simple basic information. It takes 2 minutes. And it goes to an actual real advisor that's then going to come back to you and give you some actionable goals that you can go out and start doing. So it gives you just some quick insight that, yeah, maybe it doesn't solve all your problems, but it gives you something to start with.
Right.
And then we hope to evolve that over time to help you continue to get into more, difficult situations.
Oh, well, good. Very good information. Thanks for kind of diving into that for us and describing it for our listeners. Please tell them how they can get in touch with you or get more information about your service.
Yeah, so they can check us out at www.yourwella.com, and they can check us out at Wella Strategies on Twitter, Yourwella on Facebook, and if they want to follow me, it's at Matt Reiner on Twitter.
How about an office phone number?
Call us over at 404-531-0018, and you'll be connected with one of my business partners, Eddie Gepp, and he can help you, or you can ask for me, and I'd be more than happy to help.
All right. Thank you, Matt, all that good information. I look forward to checking that out myself. All right, and on to our next guest, Dr. Aaron Harris, MD. He's a board-certified internal medicine physician who has served the Atlanta area since 2001. In July 2014, Dr. Harris opened Harris Internal Medicine in Tyrone, Georgia, with a desire to practice medicine how it was originally intended, one-on-one, patient-focused care without distraction from insurance and reimbursement requirements. By foregoing a traditional insurance-based model for a membership-based fee system, she is able to offer affordable, easily accessible healthcare option while providing more personalized, higher-quality patient care. All right, so it sounds like you're kind of going back to the old school system of personal medicine.
I like that. Very good.
What inspired you to get started doing this?
What was my frustration with the healthcare system in general? A lot of times we go into medicine when we're trained, we go into medicine thinking that we are going to establish a patient-doctor relationship that's based on trust, that's based on accessibility, that's based on no hindrances. And when you actually get into the practice of medicine, especially over the last 15 to 20 years, it has dramatically changed. We are bogged down with paperwork and claim denials and so many hours just making sure our codes are correct and making sure we're documenting correctly, that we lose the focus of what we actually went into medicine for, which is actually to help people.
Yeah, caring for people. So you find that the insurance companies are stepping into your arena too often and dictating how you run your business?
Oh, it's not stepping into the arena. It's actually taking over and basically dictating everything that we do. So it's not just guiding us or saying we should do X, Y, and Z. It's like, no, in order to be paid a certain amount, we dictate what you do.
So as a direct primary care provider, how does that differ from the standard health insurance plan?
Well, the difference is the contract. The contract with a standard health insurance plan is actually between the doctor and the insurance company. And so the insurance company actually, in a sense, becomes your boss. With direct primary care or direct with the membership-based care, your contract is between the doctor and the patient. So the patient becomes your boss. And the services are very transparent. Therefore, you can offer services based on just your relationship with the patient and not necessarily what the insurance dictates.
So when someone signs up for your services, is there an annual fee? And then what do they get for those services?
They get same day or next day appointments.
Wow, that's blowing the insurance kind of out of the water.
Totally out of the water now. You know, you call a doctor and your wait is a week for or maybe 2 weeks for a cold or a urinary tract infection. It's just a simple infection or a simple problem. The other thing is we have 30-minute visits. Most of your visits in your regular office space our scenario is a seven-minute visit. So that's because we need to see 30 patients a day in order to support the practice. And so we have 30-minute visits, same day or next day visits. I also do home visits for people who can't actually go come to the office. Say they're too sick to come to the office or they're homebound. I do home visits within a 20-mile radius. It includes labs, most procedures. Well, not extraneous labs, but most your basic labs, most procedures, and access to me on my cell phone. My patients actually just called me today. She said, you know, can I come into the office? She'll just text me, can I come in? Sure, I have an appointment at such and such time. Or if you want to secure, message me or email me. That's also, so it's access and availability and reestablishing that patient-doctor relationship that should have been there from the beginning.
Yeah, and I can tell you, I am a military veteran. I have VA health care, and it can take me up to 3 to 4 months just to see my primary care provider, and they give you a time and a date.
They actually
And then if you say, oh, I can't do that, I'm working that day.
It's 6 months later.
Yeah, you get back into the system and such. So, yeah, yes. Having that next day appointment would be something that would love to experience myself. So, but how much is the annual fee to sign up for your services?
The annual fee is $1,500 a year. If you do a... if you pay all at one time, there's mm-hmm. a 10% discount, so okay. it's $1,350 a year. I usually contract quarterly, so it's $375 a
Very
quarter.
Very affordable.
Very affordable. Yeah. About $125 a month, which is about the same cost as a phone bill.
Yeah.
You know, or cable. You know, I pay more for my cable and Verizon than I, you know, do for my membership.
Yeah, so. And then you get that peace of mind if somebody's always on call. Is always that per individual or is that for a family? I mean, different fees for that?
That's per individual.
Okay.
There are some practices that actually contract with families and give discounts for families, but because I'm internal medicine, I treat adults. It's per individual.
Right, right. But if you're somebody with, you know, who maybe often gets ill or needs that support of someone always on call, that's great. And then the house calls thrown in. So how do you find that different than people coming into the office to see you?
Well, actually, I like it when I used to practice, you know, traditional medicine, you never actually got to see the dynamic of a patient and what actually causes a patient not to be compliant with their medications or with their health care. When you actually get into the home setting, you can actually say, oh, that's why you have all these medications. You have 30, 40 medications that, and so I can go through their medicine clause. No, let's kind of take this out.
Right.
Let's move this around. And I can see that, you know, what type of dynamic will cause them not to be compliant or why they can't mm-hmm. actually see me in the office.
Yeah, you probably get a better read holistically on their lifestyle and everything that's going on that may kind of be counterproductive to the health plan or health path they're trying to go on.
Definitely.
So for sure. So, mm-hmm. So some advantages, again, for having that direct primary care provider over a typical health insurance plan would be the accountability, you know, the personal touch, that really, that one-on-one kind of services,
yes.
Can you expand a little more on that?
The transparency, the difference between what we do, and what I was practicing before is just the fact that we have reestablished the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We have reestablished the transparency of medicine. We have reestablished, just actually being there for our patients. And so I think that's probably the biggest difference. And also you're going to save more money. I know with the Affordable Care Act and with everybody required to have insurance
that's
at
right.
this point, their deductibles are just ridiculously high. They're, you know, I have a $6,500 or $6,300 deductible, and that is covering no cost, no medical cost until I reach that deductible. But that means I have to spend $6,300 out of my pocket mm-hmm. prior to me actually getting any coverage for medical care. My cost is $1,500. And so if you kind of compare that to if I'm being seen by a doctor every 3 months, if I'm a diabetic,
yep.
I'm going to pay out of pocket $5,000 even before I can reach a deductible. It makes more sense for me to go to a doctor where I only have to pay $1,500 out of my pocket.
Do you find other doctors out there doing this plan of care for folks? Or
yes, there are other doctors. It's more prevalent on the, it started on the West Coast.
Okay.
In California, and then it moved to the kind of East Coast of New York, and now it's spreading, of course, into the South, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to see it more in Chicago, Detroit. It's moving into those areas, but it's in high demand because of the situation of healthcare in America right
now. Yeah,
no
doubt. It's definitely something you could see getting bigger as we go
definitely.
Here to the future. So I know you can't do this all alone, and you got a support staff or a team that helps you out.
Just me. I don't actually, the way that I practice medicine, the way that it's set up, at this point, I really don't need. You find a lot of doctors who are in direct primary care who do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
I have a phone system that call. You know, people call in. It goes directly to my cell phone. At this time, I really don't need any additional.
Wow, that's
help.
Surprising to me. I thought you had a couple nurses, someone
no.
answer the phone, maybe somebody doing your paperwork for you. That's great.
We don't have any paperwork.
Well, I guess so.
But the most I've seen with a direct pay practice is with a large direct pay practice is about 600 patients. You probably at the most need one to two nurses, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Oh, wow. And then where's your office located?
In Tyrone, Georgia.
So you're in Tyrone, Georgia, and you do a 20-mile radius from there for home.
Yes.
For home care.
Yes.
So that's keeping you pretty busy, I guess,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very good.
That's just north of Peachtree City, if
right.
people know where the golf town of Peachtree City
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Peachtree City. That's right. One of the top 10 cities in America to live in.
Exactly.
And everybody wants to move there and drive their golf cart, for sure. So please tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, find out more information about your services, and reach out to you.
I can be reached at, well, the most information you can is get about the practice is on www.harrisinternalmed.com. If you put in Harris Internal Medicine, mm-hmm. you're going to go to a guy in Florida. So go
okay.
harrisinternalmed.com, and my office phone number is 770-954-5010.
Very good. Well, thank you, Dr. Harris, for being a guest this morning.
Thank
and
you.
I'm sure some of our listeners will be reaching out to you very soon for your affordable primary care. All right. And turning now to Jonathan Yardley. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you.
Jonathan Yardley is the president and co-founder of Special Globe LLC, a Georgia startup empowering special needs families and their children to travel the world together. Well, it sounds like a great cause and a good need, and definitely a niche out there that probably not a lot of other people are servicing.
No, we're actually first to market, and we were featured yesterday in the USA Today's travel section.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're very excited about that and seeing a nice uptick in website traffic and Twitter and Facebook and all that sort of thing. And as my partner was quoted in the article, it's the lack of resources out there for special needs families. You mm-hmm. imagine the travel for all of us, whether that's business or vacation. Mm-hmm. And I have a typical 13-year-old son, mm-hmm. and I know that travel can be difficult. And in my mother-in-law likes to romanticize the idea of business travel. I've spent many years doing research and strategy consulting and user experience work.
Okay.
So I've traveled all over the world, and sometimes it's, you know, not the greatest thing in the world to actually travel.
Right.
And so imagine doing that with a special needs child.
Yeah, it must be very difficult and, mm-hmm. and challenging. So how long have y'all guys been in business, and how'd this come to be?
Sure. My business partner is my best friend from childhood. We've known each other since the age of 4, and she is the mom of two special needs children.
Okay.
One, Eliza, who has atypical Rett syndrome, which is generally a knockout for boys in utero, so only girls survive. There's a missing chromosome involved. And Eliza has really surpassed all of the diagnoses she was given at 9 months, meaning that they were told that she would never walk, she would never talk. She ran in a 5K last fall
oh,
that
wow.
I was able to witness. She plays soccer. She's in a mainstream school, that sort of thing.
Hmm.
Her son, Henry, has ADHD, so that presents different issues when mm-hmm. You're traveling and that sort of thing. And so she approached me in the summer of 2013 saying, what do you think about this concept mm-hmm. of could we put something together that would be a resource for families? And I had actually spent the past 6 months before that doing a research project for a local hotel chain here in town mm-hmm. that I won't name.
Okay.
But we actually visited over 150 people in their homes and talked to them about the way that they research travel. How do they use the web to get inspiration and that mm-hmm. sort of thing? So it really hit home with me in terms of with these different types of travel that people undertake, how different that would be for a special needs family. And in
yeah.
talking with Megan, we also looked at the fact that there are no real resources out there. There's a lot of mommy bloggers and that
yep.
sort of thing, and they provide excellent information. What we're aiming to be is that one-stop shop for special needs families.
So you know, what kind of information do they get from you about
sure.
you know, the pre-planning for the travel or what to experience a long travel? What are some of the special kind of you know, advice that you give them?
Well, there's lots of content already on the site talking about things that you need to do to prepare. And
mm-hmm.
that's the biggest thing that we've seen in talking with special needs families. We're building a community of those parents as well. What we call the pioneers,
mm-hmm.
You know, those are the ones with the arrows in their back in terms of the getting out there and traveling and crossing that courage barrier, because there is a real fear associated with traveling, particularly if you're worried about what the reception will be where you go. And, you know, we all support ADA compliance and that sort of thing, but from a personal standpoint or, you know, a philosophical standpoint, why do we have to legislate morality in terms of it's the right thing to do to welcome everyone
mm-hmm.
in the world? And travel is such an important thing for all of us in terms of our development as people and the being able to cross barriers and understand cultures in a different way by traveling there. And why are we denying that to special needs families? So what we want is the travel industry itself to go beyond ADA compliance and really what does it mean to welcome and embrace special needs children and their families.
So you mentioned getting prepared for travel, and then you kind of walk them through what they need to get on an airline, maybe a rental car, getting a hotel room. Talk more about that.
Yeah, sure. And we've actually very intentionally partnered with both Enterprise Rental Car, Home Away, and we also have a hotel discount program. I'm not supposed to call it discount. I'm sorry. A hotel savings opportunity.
Let's Sounds put it good that to me. Way, yeah,
right?
Savings,
right?
Yeah.
With hotels that have actually been deemed special needs accessible and welcoming and that sort of thing. And the other part of what we're doing is we have formed a 501c that is actually going to be doing, so that's a nonprofit organization here in the U.S. that's actually going to be doing consulting and marketing services for the travel industry, how to better reach that audience. And that audience is very sizable in the fact that there's 14 million kids in the U.S., according to the CDC, that have been diagnosed with some special need as... There, and also the rise in diagnoses of autism is in particular.
Right.
It used to be 1 in 88 in 2010. It's now 1 in 68, according to the Center for Disease Control, and that number continues to grow. So our audience continues to grow, and for the travel industry, they're really ignoring that 1 out of 7 people in the world who have some sort of healthcare special need, and we want them to embrace that and see that it is an opportunity not only to help their business, but also to do the right thing for these families.
And it sounds like you're covering and helping the families not only with the physically challenged, but maybe the mentally as well.
Exactly.
And all those brings different specifics that each family needs help with. And so providing that for them, I think it's great. So how large of an audience does Special Globe hope to serve in the future?
We'd love to serve all what we estimate, which is 44 million family or individuals that are impacted, meaning that the divorce rate among special needs families is quite high. It's 75% versus 50% for traditional. So you've got more of a different family portrait in terms of whether they're step-parents involved and grandparents who are involved in the travel with these kids and making sure that there's greater opportunity within the travel industry to serve them.
Yeah, so so if a family wants to sign up, does it cost them anything to become a member of the website or utilize your information?
It does not. It's free of charge. They can join the community itself where there's discussions that happen. They can consume the content that's there, as you discussed, getting ready to go to the airport. There's opportunities for them to save on rental cars, hotels. We also have a partnership with HomeAway in terms of a vacation exchange, which may be more appropriate for special needs families in terms of building that home away from home versus a hotel. And so, no, we're a free service, and people can join the community itself, and they can also, as we said, get that content. We also have video content that's from each of the destinations. We've built destination guides, 5 of them so far, and there's going to be 1 a month going up after that in terms of trips that our team has undertaken to different cities to look at the accessibility, to look at the noise factors. You mentioned with someone with a cognitive issue, there's more anxiety around noise or sensory issues and that sort of thing. So where's an appropriate place to eat with your kids? Is there something that you can do in terms of approaching the front desk staff in terms of, can we get a quiet room, something that's not next to the ice machine, the elevators, that sort of
thing. Is it just kids with special needs, or maybe you have adults that are being cared for by their parents?
Absolutely, yeah.
And you can help them as well, because they have want to travel, and it may be kind of daunting to take on a traveling with an adult special needs.
And I actually was exchanging an email or exchanging emails through a contact form that came into the website yesterday with a gentleman who lives in Chicago. He's actually grandfather of a 22-year-old man with who is quadriplegic. And so we were able to set him up with a local resource in Orlando. He and his grandson and his wife are traveling down to Disney World. We were able to set him up with a local resource down there who have accommodations that are going to work for them in terms of the ability to do a diaper change.
Yes.
That's a big deal for him, and it's an embarrassing thing for his grandson, and he wants to be prepared for that sort of thing. So we're able to connect him with the right resource
in
Orlando.
And can you give the families kind of comfort with medical help when they go to these places, outreach to someone who may be understanding of their needs as well?
Absolutely, and that's part of what is within the destination guides themselves, is special need resources in each of those cities. Mm-hmm. And what we've done over the past year, we started in earnest of January 2014 in terms of building the company and building outreach and that sort of thing. And we've identified resources in different cities, organizations that provide caretakers or helpers.
That's great.
So that the parents can actually get a little bit of a vacation in that scenario if they choose to.
Yeah, so if someone's listening and they've been putting it off for years about traveling because they don't know where to go or what to do, you can provide a one-stop shop for them to sort of set a destination, what they need to do along the way, and then have a little peace of mind knowing that someone else has been through that experience before, and and they can take on that family vacation that maybe they haven't before because of that. So love to hear that. So and so with this momentum going forward, where do you see the future and how you plan to expand Special Globe LLC?
Well, I would go back to what our tagline is, which is empower, educate, and explore. And so for the future, what we'd really like to see is continuing our efforts in terms of empowering families. I really think the lifeblood of what we're doing will be the audience themselves in terms of something that I heard frequently from special needs parents and talking to them for the past year in developing the company is that, no offense to Dr. Harris, but no one is an expert about my child with the exception of me.
Right.
Whether that is a cognitive or a physical disability, what I do in terms of supporting my child makes me the expert. Mm-hmm. So they can look to an organization, for instance, like Easter Seals, which we partnered with. And Easter Seals is a terrific service organization. We all remember the, you know, the stamps and everything like
every
that.
Every year they do the fundraiser and the fund drive.
Yeah. And what I see is that community of parents coming together and saying, here are the successes that I've had. Here are the challenges that I've had, but I've been able to overcome them. And just like you said, we want to encourage and empower families to cross that fear barrier. And we've had some success stories within the past year, including our PR person who had said to us, we'd never done anything with our autistic child but take a beach vacation because that's really our level of comfort. But after speaking to us and helping us put together the PR program, which landed us in the USA Today yesterday, she actually was able to take her son to Disney World. And
that's great.
Was able to tell us of, you know, they actually had a terrific experience there. And she, you know, she said it was really my husband and my fear in terms of overcoming that. My son had a wonderful time. And they were able to, you know, get front of line access. There's things that you can do at these different attractions to
that
help.
They were unaware of prior to.
Yeah, that's right.
You would think Disney World would open their doors to people of all special needs as well.
Absolutely. And Disney actually does a pretty terrific job in terms of promoting what they do for special needs families. And there's actually a great resource that we partnered with called Special Mouse, which is a podcast of parents that actually travel to Disney on a regular basis. They actually have travel agents. You can check them out at specialmouse.com. You can see the kinship between us with Special Globe and specialmouse.com.
And just kind of thinking outside the box here, maybe going forward, some group travel where groups of special needs children can travel to all one destination, sharing in the experience together. And maybe Disney World would be a spot for that. I mean, that just sounds like a great deal. So so it sounds like you're doing wonderful things, not only here for the local community, but nationally, internationally as well. Families can, you know, take on big journeys that they only dreamed of before, now thanks to your services and such. So
that's our goal, yes.
Yeah, and do you have an office here in Atlanta?
Well, I commute from my bedroom to my basement.
It's the best commute ever, right?
Right. And my business partner actually is in Northeast Harbor, Maine, which makes her the anti-Sarah Palin, just meaning she can see Canada from her front porch.
Right.
So we maintain a virtual company. I have several, you know, UX designers, programmers, that sort of thing, who work with us on a contract basis. But we are in the midst of a fundable campaign on fundable.com.
Okay.
And we're looking for further investment from socially minded investors who want to help us grow the mission.
That's great. And you mentioned we were talking before the show, your business partner is in the Bahamas.
That's right. So I got to drive through the snow on 400 this morning while she is enjoying the Bahamas.
But she's also down there working. She's
absolutely,
down there kind of
yes.
giving an assessment of the hotel and everything. So.
And Atlantis, which I think many people probably know, they have a terrific water park and everything like that. They are someone who reached out to us based on what we're doing and said, we'd love to be featured on your website. And so they took care of the travel needs and stay and everything like that there. And so that's something that we do at each destination is take a lot of video, photography, and then Megan actually will write up the description of here's what will what work for my family and might work for yours.
Yeah, and hopefully more hotels and places will reach out to you because they do want to promote themselves as open doors to everyone out there.
Absolutely, yes.
And only a great way to do that is get in touch with Special Globe LLC. Well, please tell our listeners how they can find out more information about you or perhaps even donate to the cause and fund a little bit.
So. Yeah. So they can reach us at www.specialglobe.com. We're on Twitter at Special Globe. We just broke 15,000 followers there.
Wow, that's great.
Exciting.
Yes.
We are also on Facebook at just facebook.com/specialglobe. And they can always reach me at jcy@specialglobe.com.
Oh, Special Globe LLC. Thank you, Jonathan Yardley, president and co-founder of. You were a wonderful guest and loved hearing all the information you had to share about the good work you're doing. Keep it up out there.
Thank you.
All right. And moving along here, I'd like to introduce Tony Axton. Good morning. He's with 100tables.com. And seated next to him is his partner and co-founder, Alejo Cadavid, right?
Cadavid.
Okay, sounds very good. So, Tony, first, he is the co-founder of 100tables.com, the restaurant showcase site covering 100 great places to eat in 100 cities around the world, from dive bars to five stars. Tony has been to over 40 countries working in travel and technology. He created 100tables.com as a better way for restaurants to showcase themselves for diners, to just know where to go for a great foodie experience. So it sounds pretty good to me. So who was the originator, the idea behind this 100tables.com?
Sure, I can give you a little backstory there. So I came up with the idea a couple of years ago after traveling around the world. I've always been a foodie, like great restaurants, good experiences. And then Alejo and I met about two and a half years ago, and we had a conversation around co-founding this idea, right? Front of the house, back of the house. We both came from technology. We both came from travel. And I explained the idea that I had in my head to Alejo, and he said, you know, I've been in this business for so many years. I've launched 600 websites, and I don't own any of them, and I like to own one.
Yeah.
So we became partners, and 50-50. I said, look, you've got your skill set. I got my skill set. Let's put this together. You know the world. I know the world. We know the technology. Let's make it happen.
Right.
And we did. We grew it up as a discovery platform for foodies who just want to know where to go.
Right. Very good. And so Alejo is also the co-founder, is showcasing over 100 great places to eat in 100 cities around the world. He co-created it with Tony as a better way for restaurants to showcase themselves and for diners to just know where to go for the great food experience. Prior to 100 Tables, he worked as a senior project manager as well as a technical director for several digital agencies executing massive initiatives. So he mentioned 600 websites you've created and launched?
That is correct. And that's just in the last 5 years. I own a web digital agency.
Okay.
Its name is Tectivo. And we've served businesses from the lawyer next door to the Coca-Cola company. And as Tony was saying, he came to me with this idea, and I said, I don't want to develop your idea. I want to be part of that idea because it's a need that I have as a traveler, and I saw the potential and a great business. So that's how we all started.
And 100tables.com, right? Why 100? Why not 50 or 200? How'd you hit on that?
Yeah, I'll give you a little story here. So, you know, tables refers to, you know, a restaurant owner say, how many reservations do we have tonight? How many tables we got? And so I grew up in Buffalo, New York. I worked at a great restaurant there. And I remember the excitement of that, you know, how many tables we have tonight. So we said, you know, let's have tables represent the number of restaurants in the city. 100 is a manageable number, right? When you go to a website, say like Yelp, which I've used, it's fine. But really people don't want to look at 4,653 different choices and then filter out reviews that are good or bad or this or that. We said, why don't we just come up with a way to have 100 choices? I mean, how many restaurants do you need tonight? 100?
No,
you need
just one.
I need one.
Right.
Maybe two. All right. Yeah. So we said 100 is a number that is a manageable number, and let's make the theme of the site 100. 100 cities, 100 tables, and we charge $100 per year for a restaurant to be one of those 100.
Yeah, let's go to my next question. How do you make money for the website?
So it's $1 million website. Okay. It's 100 tables, 100 restaurants times $100 is $1 million. That's the business side of it.
Yes.
But the flip side of that was we wanted to serve restaurants better. It's really a value, right? So the question is, when you go to a restaurant owner, they've put their time, blood, sweat, and tears into the restaurant and upwards of, you know, $500,000, $2 million into these things. So we go to them with a proposition as, look, it's $100 a year. Mm-hmm. It's 27 cents a day.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we joke around, like, lift up the bar mat, you'll find 27 cents.
Right.
I mean,
no doubt.
So the idea was, a lot of restaurant owners were, they're always getting dinged by other online sites for hundreds a month, if not thousands a month. I know a restaurant who told me he spends $20,000 a year on OpenTable for reservations.
Right.
He's like, you know, it's worth it, but it's a little hard to chew. So we wanted to make the break-even point about an hour.
Okay.
So dinner for two. Pick a nice restaurant. Dinner for two, $100.
That sounds good.
So our idea was, we'll send you 10 or 15 diners, customers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're way ahead of the game. So that was the charm part of it. It's an online business that we can run globally around the world from anywhere for $100 a year.
That's great. Now, Alejo, do you go sample all these foods yourself?
Well, it's a potential of 10,000 restaurants around the world, so it will be an impossible task. But that's part of what I'm going to Montreal is try new businesses, try new restaurants, and see if there's a good fit for 100 tables that come.
So anybody can just come and pay the $100 and be on your site, or do you have to have actual process of kind of making sure they're a reputable restaurant, they serve good food, it's a good service? How do you figure all that out?
It is crowd-based.
Okay.
And we use Facebook and other social venues to validate that they have the credentials in order to be part of 100 tables. Mm-hmm. And currently, it's 250 likes on Facebook.
Okay.
And that will potentially grow as the economy of likes grow in the outer space. But that's how we validate. If they are not in Facebook, there is another route, and we validate with Saga, TripAdvisor, or depending on where in the world they are, we validate with their local websites to see if they are eligible to be part of one.
And then
tables.
You said they like that. Do they rank the restaurant? You guys, you know, how do you know who's number one and who's number 100, or does it matter?
Yeah, I can cover that. So there, when you look at 100 tables and you pick a city, right now there are 50 open cities. I mean, we started with 6 cities and 1 restaurant.
Okay.
The very first restaurant ever on Earth to join 100 tables was Aria here in Buckhead.
Okay.
Jerry Kleskala's restaurant. He saw our vision. He said, I love it. I'm in. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And he got the first spot. We do it with a trust method. For example, let's say I'm going to fly to San Francisco this weekend, but I don't know where to eat. Mm-hmm. I might call somebody, a friend. Hey, you're from San Francisco. I want good sushi. Where can I go? Mm-hmm. My friend will tell me, and I'll go.
You may go to the hotel and ask the people at the desk, and they're going to pass you on
Who knows, right? Everybody has their network. If somebody asks me where to eat in Atlanta, I can whip off 100 places, no problem. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that in 100 other cities, 99 other cities. So I have to rely on networks. We use Facebook as that way, because when somebody goes to Facebook and likes something, I like Buckhead Business Radio X.
Yes.
Why do you have a like there? It's not because somebody wants to tell themselves they like it. They do it so their network knows they like it. And they also do it because it creates a profile of their world,
of
their
life.
It's
a way to connect with them as well, right.
So when somebody likes something, they genuinely like it. Mm-hmm. So if a restaurant says, our attitude was, if a restaurant has 250 likes, they're probably doing something right. And the reality is most of the restaurants that that snag a spot, one of the 100 spots, have far more than 250 likes. They have thousands of likes.
Right.
So we sleep well at night knowing that when a restaurant joins from Hong Kong or Lima or L.A., we wake up and there's a restaurant from Mexico City. Look at that. We discover who it is. We go, look at that. This is a great restaurant. They got 6,000 likes. Mm-hmm. It's a top chef or it's a top dive bar. Mm-hmm. It's one of those must-know places, must-try places. And there they are on the site. And they see the value in having that online profile you know, and being one of the 100 in their city.
That's great. And sitting here looking at the questions again, I guess on your website there is a "Been There" button on each restaurant profile. And what makes that so? What is it? What makes it so powerful?
Do you want to address that? So "Been There" is it's a way of sharing it on Facebook. So let's say I have been to Lure here in Atlanta, mm-hmm. Midtown Atlanta, great mm-hmm. restaurant, Lure. I can go to the profile Lure on 100 Tables, and I can click "Been There." When I click that button, it opens up my personal Facebook page and tells all of my friends, my network, that I've been to Lure. So I might have 100 or 200 friends on Facebook. Some people have 1,000, right?
Right.
You know, I'm sure
right.
they know them all, too. So, but what happens is when I click that button, I say, I've been to Lure on 100tables.com. Click here to check it out. Well, my 200 friends on Facebook see that.
Yes.
All of a sudden, those 200 people... You go, wow, Tony's been to Lure. Yeah. Maybe it's a cool, maybe I'll go.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I've sent somebody in there for dinner.
Right.
And there's where the value is. I mean, right. you know, the $100 in, maybe $1,000 out. So yeah. the return on the investment, if you want to call it an investment, can be substantial, you know, especially when your cost is $100.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of that is where it's powerful is a restaurant will have, say, 10,000 likes or 10,000 followers on Facebook. They can also share that. So all of a sudden, 10,000 people can see that. They don't all look at it. Maybe 10% see it. All of a sudden, you got 1,000 introductions to your restaurant
yep.
on one click. Literally right. takes 30 seconds.
Yeah, I remember in the first early days of Facebook, one thing that people took pictures of all the time was their food.
Right.
And they would check in at a restaurant and take a picture of their plate.
Right.
You know, now everybody's taking pictures of everything, their family, and everybody checks in more specifically at a restaurant or the airport. They love checking in there.
So. Well, I'll tell you something interesting. The design that we put together, imagine, because here in the studio here, we don't have this in front of us, but imagine a bingo board, right?
Mm-hmm.
100 Tables has a design that's very different than what you see on, say, a TripAdvisor or a Yelp. It's one board of 100 squares.
Mm-hmm.
So when a restaurant comes on board, you can pick any square you want. There is no ranking best. This is not a
yeah.
top 10 list.
Right.
This is not even a top 100 list. In New York City, there's probably 75,000 restaurants. We're sold out at 100. I mean, we're not trying to conquer every city in the world and, you know, 2 million restaurants.
Yeah.
It's 100 per city. It's 100 winners per city so that when you travel or you travel or you travel, you know, I'm going to a going to Cincinnati. I'm
yeah.
going to London. Where's a great place to eat? And I know it's the chances of that being a great foodie experience are highly reliable
mm-hmm.
because they're on that site. You can't, every restaurant here, no restaurant on 100 Tables needs help.
No.
They're all great.
Yeah, that's good. And so what's in it for the foodies themselves? I get a new experience, I guess? Or
reliability.
Yeah. They know that you know you've been you know kind of vetted by the social community, the online network of people, and they're going to serve a good food and have a good experience, right?
Exactly. They get to discover new places and mm-hmm. all over the world, and guaranteed to be good the places
yeah.
that are there. And it sells filtered by themselves. If you look at the Atlanta page, which is what you probably know best,
mm-hmm.
You'll see the restaurants that are there, and you instantly will say, yeah, this is the top list in Atlanta. This is the best. So you trust the source. Mm-hmm. Then when you go somewhere else, you can go to Chicago or the different city, and you're going to have the same experience of having the
right.
best there.
Right, and it can be any restaurant, or like I said, dive bar to five-star, you know?
I'll use Atlanta since we're here. So we've got five-star restaurants on the board, right? There's Aria, as I mentioned before. The whole Buckhead Life restaurant group
right.
is on board.
Right.
And Barker's Hot Dogs in Marietta is on board. You know, and I love Barker's Hot Dogs, right? I grew up in Buffalo. They use Salins Hot Dogs.
Okay.
It's, you know, you can go there and have lunch for $6-7. Or
mm-hmm.
you can go to a top star restaurant in the city and, you know, spend $200.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't care about the cost of the meal. We cared that the food was good. We cared that the experience was good. And we opened it up to 100.
Mm-hmm.
And it's first come, first choice. Atlanta now has 14 squares left.
Okay.
Before it sells out.
Okay.
And we often don't know who's going to sign up.
Right.
We wake up and look, hey, look who's on board. I love this restaurant.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're a customer.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, for those listeners out there in the Atlanta area, get on board now. 14 slots left before they fill up those 100. And I'm sure there's plenty of restaurants still available. I know here in the Buckhead area alone, some of the top restaurants are right here in our back door.
Kima's on board. Buckhead
yep.
Diner's on board. Anticapostas on board. I mean, half a Buckhead's there.
Yeah.
And you know them all. They're quality places. They love it, and the value for them, we hope and we think, is excellent. You know, $100 a year,
That's very affordable.
That's two drinks in Manhattan.
Yeah, and so that's true, right? And so the website itself, you've designed Alejo and everything put together, and you're the creative guy behind all that.
I have a team that works for me, and we, with a team of around 6-7 people, created the website.
And it's constantly evolving and changing, I would think, because of the different people coming on board and the different restaurants, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have a blogging platform. We have a mobile app that is coming soon. Next 2 months, we'll have a mobile app so that you can have the list of restaurants at your fingertips, in your pocket.
Yeah, so just some key points about it. It's $100 per year per restaurant for 100 cities. Any city is allowed. Sign up is easy, and it's a matter of minutes. You're on live on the website. That's right. Yeah.
2-3 minutes, you're live.
Yeah, so there's no risk, all upside for the restaurants and the foodie themselves.
The restaurant's risk is $100 a year, if you want to call it a risk.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, there are now, we crossed 1,000 restaurants around the world. And it's not any city. We have pre-selected 100 cities. And we base that on an article that came out in Business Week a few years ago that said, these are the 100 most livable cities in the world.
Okay.
We thought, livable cities, what do they have? They have restaurants, hospitals, schools, livable. Mm-hmm. And so we picked those 100 great top cities around the world and made space for 100 restaurants to get on board.
How many of those cities are in America, do you know?
35.
35 U.S. cities. And so the rest are in all countries?
35 in America, 25 in Europe, 7 to 8 in Asia. We've got Dubai open, Cape Town, South Africa just opened. Mm-hmm. We also onboard some local experts in each one of those because we're very wide, mm-hmm. right? 100 cities, 100 tables. So we have some local experts. We, if they're good at what they do and they have a blog, we put a profile up for them and say, well, you're very deep. You might know Cape Town, South Africa better than anybody.
Yeah.
In fact, we just brought on a Food Network TV chef who is Jenny Morris, who is a top chef in South Africa, Cape Town, and she's now on the site as of yesterday as a local expert. So you could come to us, find 100 great places to eat in Cape Town, click on her and find another 500 pieces of information around what's really deep in that city.
That's excellent. And it gives you an opportunity to perhaps travel in the future, go sample some of these restaurants yourself. You guys mentioned you're both foodies, right?
Sure.
So is your favorite food hot dogs, being from Buffalo, or something else?
No, I spent a lot of time living in Rome, Italy, so my favorite food is definitely Italian.
Pasta, right?
Yes.
Yeah, what about you, Alejo?
I like Asian food.
Asian food, yeah. Okay. We have some good Asian restaurants here in the Atlanta area. So,
absolutely.
Very good, yeah. All right, well, tell folks how they can find your website or get more information about you on social media.
I would direct everyone to look at 100tables.com. It's all spelled out, O-N-E, 100 tables. And that's really the place to go. Every other link that they would want to see is at that URL.
Right, and I see you're on Twitter at 100, the number, tables, so people can find you there. Facebook.com/100tables and Instagram.com/100tables. Both. Very good. So look forward to checking out the website myself, perhaps sampling some of those restaurants here in Atlanta. So thank you, gentlemen, for being a guest and sharing all the information. I have a few more minutes here. If anybody else has any other information they'd like to share about their services or questions for the other guests, now would be a good opportunity. If not,
what's the best seafood in Atlanta?
Yeah, there you go.
The best seafood in Atlanta. You're putting me on the spot now. You know what I would say? I have a couple of favorites. I do love Lure in Midtown. Mm-hmm. Love Kima. Phenomenal Greek
Mediterranean
seafood.
Yeah. We've had Nico Karatasis in here as a guest. Recently promoted CFO to Buckhead Life Group. So, and nice guy. Told us all about.
Yeah, he's sharp.
Yeah, very good guy. Yeah. So, so Jonathan, any favorite restaurants you have here in the Atlanta area?
Well, a close friend of mine owns Front Page News, and I'm a big fan of his whole restaurant group. He also owns Napoleon's, which is over off of Briarcliff, so I need to give him a shout-out.
Yeah, no problem there. Mm-hmm. And any restaurants that you may find through your Special Globe LLC that are very special needs family-friendly, passing along that information would certainly be great for families out there, even if they're just taking a trip across town, knowing that they can be well cared for.
Yeah, and that's probably an important thing to note, that travel really for special needs families could be as simple as going to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And we really want to encourage families to get the kids out there, get them to experience the world.
Well, very good. Dr. Harris, any last minute comments or thoughts about your services or some of the other guests?
No, I was going to actually say that you can also see me on Twitter. I'm Harris Internal Medicine on on Twitter and mm-hmm. Facebook. But from one foodie to the next, it's also good to know that there's a website out there, because sometimes you go to a restaurant, it's been, everybody loves it, and then you get there and you're just like, wah, wah, you know?
Yeah.
The experience of a foodie, when you want good food, it really is important to have that good experience.
Yeah, whether you just want a hot dog one exactly. afternoon for lunch, or you really want to take out your significant other for a fine dining experience, exactly. you can go to the website there and check it out. And so, Matt, is food something people should save for, put in their wealth management program?
Yeah, you know? Maybe there's a connection between one of your tables and Wella that we can figure something out.
Yeah.
But no, I'm going to have to go and get some stuff for Italy, where we're going on our honeymoon. So then I'll go. If you living over there, Tony, I might have to get sure. some advice from you.
Excellent. And when is your wedding?
April 11th.
Okay,
April
pretty 11th. Soon.
Yeah, and coming up.
Yeah, honeymoon after that. You guys are going to Italy?
Yeah.
Oh, sounds like a great experience.
That's so, something that we've been saving for on our Wella page.
You've got to, right?
Go.
Yeah, it's a big cost.
It's a big expense.
It is. And it is. Very good. So any last-minute thoughts about Wella, or something you want to share with our listeners, how to get in touch with you again?
No, don't be shy. Try us out, and we'll simplify your investing strategies for you.
Very good. Well, we appreciate all of y'all being in the studio today, sharing your stories about your businesses, being a guest here on Buckhead Business Radio X. Look for more information about you going down the line. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. For Rich Casanova, I'm Ryan Redhawk. We'll see you next time on the radio.